It's Jameson Williams after the game. We would all appreciate that and endorse that, J-Mo.
You be you, buddy.
Yep. Because I got to tell you, when you hear preseason hype and then you finally get to see it on the field in something other than practice and realize, oh my God, Jameson Williams is going to be a problem. He is going to be a problem. And he, TJ Lang said something at the end of the morning show today about how give the wide receivers credit for blocking downfield as well. And those guys did a decent job. But, you know, he kind of got showcased last night. And it's like, oh my, this is exactly what. Remember when he was drafted? Oh, why are you taking a hurt player? Because that hurt player plummeted in the draft and fell into your lap because of his injury. It's the only reason they got him.
Because you think you might have something similar to Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
Because speed kills. And he'll heal up. He'll have plenty of time to heal up, and he did. And we've seen it. He made a few plays last season. A couple in the playoff game against the Niners, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And what we saw last night was awesome because it's something we've all been waiting to see. Kang's been dying to see it. I've been dying to see it. Just give him the ball in space. How do you get that space? Drag him across the field or, you know, send him deep. And if the safety somehow occupy the other receivers and it's one-on-one, you cannot stop Jameson Williams. He's too fast, and he showed it last night.
And speed alone doesn't kill. You have to be able to play the game. Like Velus Jones in Chicago is really fast, but he dropped the kickoff yesterday, and he's, you know, he's not – not a great receiver, but he's fast. J-Mo looks like he's a football player who's fast.
Yeah, we saw elements of it last year. This is but not for, you know, the full J-Mo experience, right? And that's what we're hoping.
Good way to put it.
Yeah, we're getting the full J-Mo experience this year, hopefully. And TJ's right. The receiver's blocked, but Jameson Williams was blocking last year when he wasn't getting the ball. That's why I always kind of had belief in him that he was always engaged in the game, that, you know, once he got his playing time up and more snaps and got the playbook down, that he was going to get his. And last night was a coming out party for him nationally. I don't think a lot of people knew what he had to give still. And think here, we knew the hype was coming, but we didn't see it in the field yet. And we saw it last night, which was great.
It is previous two seasons, he's combined to have under 400 yards receiving so far in his career. Last night, he had 121. And the way he ended last year, it's why I've said it during this show. Everything last night felt like a continuation from last year, which you can't always do in the NFL. Like it happens all the time, but it's
hang another year on this guy.
Yeah. And it's so encouraging to see them go out and play the way that they did, which wasn't perfect.
Cause it's a young team.
Yep.
It's a young team that's been drafted and put together. There are very few players on this team that are beyond the age of like 29. And literally less, I think it's less than a handful of players are north of 29. And these guys are all growing together. The continuity, not only of the roster, but of the coaching staff has been remarkable.
And, you know, they pocket a big tiebreaker in week one. The Rams are expected to be there in the end, and the Lions now hold that tiebreaker. There's going to be a few games like this year. Dallas is going to be one. I mean, you never know what the Buccaneers, I guess, could be one. San Francisco's obviously going to be one. So,
well, the Rams got beat up last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how severe their injuries are, but they lost a couple more offensive linemen last night. Puka Nacua left the game and did not return. It tried to return and then got carted off the field. You don't wish injuries on anybody. But if Puka Nacua is out, that could be devastating for the Rams.
248-539-9797. Bernard, you're next. What's up, Bernard?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
How are we doing?
Nice to have you guys all together in the studio back again. Scott, condolences to your family.
Thank you very much.
So, cliche, long-time season ticket holder, whatever. been seeing games for a long time, back to the Dome, all that. Last night, John pointed out, that first drive was the loudest I have ever heard that building. But then that Lions PTSD kicked in, and I think it really – and there's a little bit of, like, changing demographics in the fan base of the ones that go to games, and I think that has a little bit of an effect too. But honestly, like, as a couple bad call or a bad call or this – you know, and then the guy next to me was a 50-year season ticket holder, and – I just saw him like just deflated after that. It was one bad call. I'm not sure which one it was, but because there were several. But I just think that Lions PTSD is hard to shake. And until we can see that they can consistently, which I believe they can, and I'm not in this group, but until we can see that they consistently overcome those that adversity and the bad calls and just, you know, that grit that won't quit, like...
Wasn't that last night, though? It wasn't perfect.
I think it was, but I mean, it was, you know, like we're still settling in on that, right? I mean, it was an overtime win, so it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like they were ahead in the third.
No, that's interesting because I've already settled in. I already, and that doesn't mean you're wrong, Bernard. Your feelings are certainly as valid to you as mine are to me. I've settled in where I'm expecting something to go right.
I agree, and I was there. And the playoffs last year kind of, you know, obviously not the home playoff games last year really, you know, solidified that for me as well. And I'm over, I could probably say that I think I'm over my Lions PTSD, but I think there are a lot of people who are, you know, who just, it's going to be hard to shake it. And I think last night was definitely a big step in that direction. And next week will be another. I mean, I just think that, you know, we'll get there, but
You're not there yet.
I'm there. Okay. I don't know as a fan base, you know, the majority is there. Because, again, when that drop off, you know, it didn't hit over 110 decibels in that building, you know, until, like, I mean, after the second quarter. I mean,
hey, appreciate the phone call. But, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not expecting everybody to be in the same place I am. But, I mean, you're pretty confident in them now. They're going to win every game, aren't you?
Every game?
Yeah. Not they're going to go undefeated, but you'll have that feeling. I
thought that's what undefeated meant.
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't say it. I said, are you confident in every game that they can win it? And
yes,
that they will
I'm
find a way to win
it.
Yes,
I'm confident they can win every game. Will they win every game?
I don't think
that's going to happen. But yes, I really am impressed with the way they finished that game. That overtime drive, I've said a number of times, was flawless. It's on the legs of David Montgomery and the way that he just kept pumping those legs and getting the extra yards and springing through and the offensive line opening up a hole, whether it was a big hole or it was just a little crevice and he squeaked through, got the job done. And you talk all the time about, you got to run to win games at the end of games.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to do. You want to salt it away. It's your 4-minute drill, whatever you call it. But if you're able to run the football, you can just lop huge amounts of time off the clock. And the Lions did that in overtime. It was methodical. It was beautiful. It was awesome destruction. And they win the game. And let's get ready for week 2.
You know how demoralizing that must be for a defense to know that, hey, they're just going to continually run the ball because we cannot stop them. And in fact, we can't stop them so bad. Please call a timeout so we can get a rest.
And then they called timeout and it didn't matter.
No, of course it didn't matter.
Here we go. Boom.
And of course, the offensive line's great with the Lions, but there were a few times where there weren't holes. Well, I was really impressed with Montgomery and Gibbs, and they would kind of wait it out and then find that little sliver and then get some positive yardage. So I think with Gibbs and Montgomery and this offensive line, Ali and Frazier, as you call them, Gator, I think they will keep body punching you and body punching you until it's hey, please, no mas.
Yep. That's the way the game ended. Tony's in Dearborn and he's next. Hi, Tony.
Yeah, I'm here. That's a fantastic game last night. I was at that playoff game. I think the playoff game was maybe a decibel louder. But the thing is, that was the best game I've seen in a long time from the Lions. And they're playing fantastic. I got to commend the coach. He's changing things on the fly. And that's when we need the best. If we have enough talent on the team, when he changes things on the fly, you know, makes his adjustments, and it helps golf get the audibles. Hey, we're doing good, you know? Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, in overtime, they're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to shove it down their throat. Eat the football, LA. Eat the football. They did. Thing of beauty.